Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. We are glad you're with us. If you are a visitor here, we would like for you to sign. There's a thing in the pew in the pews that asks for your name and address, and that helps us to know who's been visiting with us. If you are here as a visitor, please sign that and put it in the offering plate as it goes by. You can find out more about us by finding us on the web and on Facebook, and we invite you to do that. We have a couple of announcements. We are doing Bible studies this week as we start through Lent. There are two totally different studies that we'll be doing. And so one is going to be at 6 o'clock on Tuesdays, and the other will be at 1 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. And you are invited to both of those. We will be using both use our Right Now Media, and we invite everyone is welcome. And if you know somebody who would like to join us, please invite them as well. Today we have a Valentine's Day dinner right after church, so starting at 11, I think, 11:30. And so we invite you to come and eat and celebrate Valentine's Day with us. Further announcements are in your bulletin, and so we invite you to check those out and put those on your calendar. There's a lot of things up and coming, both in the church and in the community, so make sure you write those down. Are there any announcements from the floor? Yeah. Thank you. The second hymn in your bulletin has changed. It will be number 370, Victory in Jesus. Just a note for you for that. Any others? Let's prepare our hearts for worship. to you, O God. Glory to you. We praise your name, author and creator of love. Teach us to love this morning. Teach us your amazing and unending love. We be with us as we've come to worship. Help us to know you and to love you in ways, and challenge us as we learn to love one another. And we pray it in your name. Amen. Where can we go to seek and seek refuge?
We take refuge in you, O God.
Who can rescue us from the grip of the wrongdoers?
We lead our case to you, Lord.
Is there any place that we can run to escape?
The Lord is our rock and our refuge.
Let us lift up our praise as we celebrate the deliverance found only in you, God.
Praise be to our God. Amen.
Amen. Our opening hymn is Christ for the World We Sing. It's number 568. With the words of faith on our lips and in our hearts, we are all one in Christ. The peace of Christ be with you, and the peace of Christ be with you always. Will you turn and greet your neighbor in the peace of Christ? Peace. As we find our seats, we invite the children to come forward for the children's message.
Good morning, friends. How are you this morning? Good. Hey, what's today? Valentine's Day. What do we celebrate on Valentine's Day? Yes, Cole. Love. Yes. Well, I imagine most of the adults here this morning probably think of Valentine's Day as a romantic, mushy, gushy holiday. I don't know. But instead of talking about the mushy-gushy kind of Valentine's Day, I thought we would talk about the greatest act of love ever. Does anyone know what the greatest act of love ever was? No? Anyone? Bailey? Do you girls know? How about you girls? Do you know what the greatest act of love ever was? Huh. Well, how about this? The greatest act of love ever was that God sent his son to die on the cross for each of us so that if we accept this gift of love, we will get to live in eternity with him forever and ever. Now, how many of you know the verse or the chapter in the verse of John 3:16? Yeah, that's basically what that verse says, right? Well, I have an idea this morning. I know it's children's time, but do you think all of the adults could help us with John 3:16 and we could say it forever? Are you ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John. Good job, friends. All right, now, I know that we pass out suckers when we do children's time. So today, typically when we pass out suckers, we're supposed to give one to somebody else and tell them Jesus loves them, right? And that seems appropriate since it's Valentine's Day too, but maybe today when you give that extra sucker away, you could also tell them the verse of John 3:16. Tell them that that was the greatest act of love ever done for them. And if you don't know John 3:16, I bet your parents can help you out, especially for some of you little ones. Are you ready to pray? Okay. Dear Lord, we are so thankful that we could all gather today on this Valentine's Day. I just ask that you would take each one of these kids and that you would bless them and that they will always know that you are here for them and that they will always know your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
And then you guys can go ahead and find follow Miss Allison for Sunday school, junior church. Thank you, Miss Vicki. At this time, we gather our prayers and our praises, and wondered if there were people who might have a praise or birthday this morning. I know there's one in the back, Marianne. Megan had a birthday yesterday. Any other birthdays? Jeff had a birthday yesterday as well. Anybody else? I miss the people up in the balcony sometimes.
My grandma, her birthday is on Saturday.
Oh, yay! So we have another birthday this week. Any other birthdays? Let's sing our birthday song then for him. Happy birthday. Do we have praises to lift up today? Any prayer concerns? Oh, back over here, Miss Linda.
This is an update on that Melissa Beer that I put on that my brother from Fremont called. She did have a stroke. They are taking her to Cleveland Clinic. They think it was caused from a hole in her heart. So we definitely need to keep her on the prayer list.
Thank you.
Want to put Pastor Wayne Cargas on our prayer list again. He got a report this week and on the seriousness of his cancer, it's 9 out of 10. 9 where 10 is the most severe there is. Thank you.
So keep Pastor Wayne in our prayers that he has got cancer, that it's severe. Others? We're a quiet group this morning. Thank you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for the many birthdays that we celebrate. We know, Lord, that you alone know our days. We give you thanks and praise for the blessings that you pour out on us, on the ability to come and worship you in freedom and to know, oh Lord, that you call us and that you love us. We thank you for a Valentine's Day that reminds us of the importance of love, of our sharing and giving and expressing love in ways that are good and appropriate. We give you thanks. We ask, O gracious God, that you would be with us today. Be with those who grieve, Lord. I know that there were several passings this week and that our hearts are heavy, especially for our loved ones who grieve today and those in our community. We know, Lord, that it's hard. You call us to celebrate as folks who have hope and eternal life, and yet it's hard to get by our loss. We pray for those families, Lord, today. We pray for those with cancer. We ask that you bless those that are homebound, that you might help us to remind us to visit and to call and to share. We pray for those, Lord, who continue to deal with health issues. We pray for the multitude of places that we live in this broken world. We are ever and increasingly aware of the places of need in our communities, the places that where we seem so broken, and ask that you be with us. Hear our prayers, O Lord, as we spend just a moment in silence. Gracious God, we are mindful of those who don't experience love around the world, those who feel unloved and unlovable. We are mindful of our brothers and sisters who live in poverty and because of that poverty have disease. We pray, O Lord, that you would help us in sacrificial love to find ways to reach out and change lives. Help us also to love you with all of our hearts and all of our minds and all of our strength and all of our souls as we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, I would invite you to stand for our next hymn, which is 570, Victory in Jesus. 370. I invite you to stand, please.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. We are folks who live in victory. The victory is ours through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so we trust in God for all things and give back to God what is already God's. May I have the ushers come forward, please? You to stand as you're able. God, you are love itself. Without you, there is not love. You show us your love in the sunrise and the snowfall. You cover us in your loving embrace with the gift of our church and the words of Scripture. Our gifts can never match your own, yet we offer them as a token of our commitment to show love is all we have and all that we are. Amen. I ask you to remain standing for the reading of the gospel, which comes to us from Luke chapter 4. And it's verses 21 through 30. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you'll quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do hear also in your hometown the things that you have heard and did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there are many There were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was severe famine all over the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow in Zephrath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. And when they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage, and they got up and they drove him out of town and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through their midst of them and went on his way. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Our New Testament reading comes to us from Paul in his letter to the church in Corinth in the 13th chapter. And it's a fitting that it's a Valentine's Day. This is the love text, or what we call the love text. If I speak in tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. And as for tongues, they shall cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we are prophecy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put aside my childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but what we will see face to face. Now I know only in part that I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these, is love. Amen. Will you pray with me? Oh, gracious God, speak to us your words of love and your words of wisdom. Teach us, break our hearts that we may be able to receive and give love freely. Tear down our walls that we put up to protect ourselves. And teach us, oh, gracious God, in your mercy. Amen. Well, today is Valentine's Day, and I figured it's a great day to talk about the love text and about God's love and our love. And it was actually a lectionary text a couple of weeks ago when I was looking at it, and I thought, well, this doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to have the love text now when we have Valentine's Day actually on Sunday. And so I switched it around a little bit so that we could talk about love today. And it seems like our culture is bound up in love. I mean, look at our magazines, look at our tabloids. What are the things that we see? We see the Kardashians and Kanye. We see Brangelina and Jennifer Aniston, and I'm still angry about that. We see Blake. I think she got a bum deal. I don't know. I just don't get it. We see Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani and how they're battling Miranda Lambert and Gwen's ex. And who could forget Maria Shriver and Arnold Schwarzenegger? And do you know what tonight is? Do you know what's on TV tonight? Wait for it. It is the 20th anniversary of The Bachelor. It's the 20th season of The Bachelor. And I can't wait. I'm going to TiVo it. Rob won't watch it, I'm sure. But I mean, we have all watched this show. I couldn't believe it's been 20 seasons, but it has. And we've all watched this show over the years. And we've seen the beautiful couples. They meet and they fall in love and they stay in love forever and as they get married. And we have seen the show that's all about the beautiful scenery and the beautiful clothes and the great dates, the exotic great dates that they go on, and the happily ever after. Not so much. I mean, has anyone ever seen a bigger train wreck? Except for maybe Honey Boo Boo. I mean, you know, it's like one of those things you can't peel away, you can't stop watching, but you know it's not going to end well. And I think that's part of the show's popularity. But we wrestle with what it teaches about our culture and to our children. First, and the most disturbing thing that it teaches, I think, is the idea that you have to put out to stand out. And I mean that in a couple of ways. The first is the wildest introductions on the show seem to be the ones that make the biggest splash. There was somebody that came in wild outfits or half-dressed, or one came in on a horse, I think, one time. And those are the ones that seem to stand out. We've all watched as the women who don't receive a rose on the first ceremony because they simply didn't stand out. And also, we also have other implications. These women are encouraged to spend the evening with the bachelor who they don't even really know. They've never really met. All in the name of love. Again, it sends to us the signal that love is sex and sex is love, and that there's nothing more beyond either of that. And I am amazed that a show whose theme is to find true love doesn't really seem to know or have a clue of what true love is all about. I mean, the women surprise me. They tell the screen, "I am so in love with the bachelor, he's got to pick me." And they haven't been on a date yet. It's amazing to me. I think we're desperate for love. We're desperate for love, but we haven't the faintest idea of what love is. And this morning's text, it is all about love. And I don't mean love necessarily between a man and a woman or a husband and wife, but between human beings. And if we can't get that right, then we really never ever get the capacity to love our spouses. And even though we read this text, it drives me nuts every time I do a wedding. I offer a bunch of texts that we could do, and I say, and then there's this one. And we read it because it's not a wedding text. Paul wasn't talking to a couple when he wrote this. He was talking to the church, trying to teach the church how to live. And so he wrote those words. And I am convinced that one of the main purposes of Jesus' life amongst us was to show us God's love, to teach us how to extend the love of God to one another, and to show how hard it is. It wasn't long after the author of love died and rose again that Paul had to go back and write these words. And we are here again. So why is it so important? Why is love so important? Well, we know that all the commandments hang on it. Jesus was asked, what is the most important commandment? And he responded to love God with all your heart and all your soul, all your strength and all your mind. And Jesus said, true, and the second is like unto this, to love your neighbor as yourself. And sometimes I think we just don't know how to do that. Or we don't do it well. We hear these words and they roll away from us like it's the easiest thing in the world to do. So easy, so simple. Yeah, love. I mean, we hear it all the time. Hey, love you. Love you too. Hey, love you. And we just let it roll away from us. John Wesley challenged us. He said, for those who would love, to desire and to pursue the loved one's happiness as sincerely and as steadily as our own, and to find it wrapped in God only in such a manner and measure as we know and feel, not to indispose, but to prepare us for the enjoyment of God. Thus, then, we are called to love. Now, remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about Corinth and how it held the temple of Aphrodite, the goddess of love. Well, imagine that these people who lived under the nose of the goddess of love, the one who they believed knew what love was, needed to hear these words. So Paul writes to that church and to us, who continue to fail to understand love as witnessed by our cultural observations. So he begins by naming all the things that people value before love. The value of language and the value of being able to speak, not only in tongues, but to speak well and to speak charismatically. We value charity We value prophecy and wisdom and good deeds. And Paul, he acknowledges that these are all great things. They're all really good things, but that standing up against love, they really fall short. The people that Paul was addressing, they had been learning. They had some amongst them who could speak in tongues, and some who donated a tremendous amount of energy and time and money to the young church, and all of it was good and desirable. But their lack of love was turning what should have been an outpouring of God's love and growth in the church into tension that often resulted in fights and feuds. And we see this over and over again. Folks with the best intentions are caught up in feuds that split the church and make the unbelievers doubt in the claims of the church and the sincerity of the church that we're called to love one another, that God is the God of love, that Christians are all about love. I've quoted before Brennan Manning, who is a common theologian. The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today, he said, is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. And I believe that this is something that we absolutely have to get right. It's not an option for us. We absolutely, at the very least, have to learn to love one another. We can't afford to fail at living out love. We live in a time where tensions are everywhere, where we struggle. Our biggest issues today are the Black Lives Matter, are the human trafficking issues, and not just in the sex trade industry, but also in child labor. We deal with the LGBT issues and radical Islam. In each of these places, we're challenged to love as Christians. Not remotely from afar, not like the 70s, peace, love, and right on, but up close in a deep, deep, challenging love of God. And so let's listen to Paul again and hear his words about what love is and what love isn't and where the hallmarks of God are. And I want to read it again. I'm reading from a version called The Voice. And it changes it just a little. It's a paraphrase. It's not a real translation. It says this: love is patient. Love is kind. It isn't envious. It doesn't boast, brag, or strut about. There is no arrogance in love. It's never rude or crude or indecent. It's not self-absorbed. Love isn't easily upset. It doesn't tally our wrongs or celebrate injustice. But truth. Yes, truth is love's delight. Love puts up with anything and everything that comes along. It trusts and hopes and endures no matter what. Love will never become obsolete. Now, as for the prophetic gifts, they will not last. Unknown languages will become silent, and the gift of knowledge will no longer be needed. Gifts of knowledge and prophecy are partial at best, and at least for now. But when the perfection and fullness of God's kingdom arrive, all the parts will end. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned like a child, as we all do. But when I became an adult, I left my childish ways behind. For now we can see only as a dim and blurry picture of things, as when we stare into polished metal. I realize that everything I know is only part of the big picture. But one day, when Jesus arrives, we will see clearly face to face. In that day, I will fully know, just as I have been wholly known by God. But now faith, hope, and love remain, and these three virtues must characterize our lives, and the greatest of these is love. It seems to us that the challenge is not just to love in the trite way. If you notice in our bulletins when I put in that big honking welcome to people that we, you know, seems to take up half of the bulletin. But it's important to us. Do we really mean this? Do we really mean that we extend a welcome to all those who are single, who are married, who are divorced, who are widowed, who are rich, who are dirt poor, who habla inglés and no habla inglés? We love crying babies, inquisitive youngsters, and mature adults. Do we really believe in all of those things? What would it look like? And how does that change us? How does it challenge us? How does it mold us? And we only need to look at Paul to get an idea. So Paul tells us first that love is patient and love is kind. How many times do we simply just react to things and not extend patience and kindness to people? Ask parents about patience. They know that one. They know how to extend patience in love. And, you know, I was watching this documentary one day, and I don't even know why. It was a story that they were doing on adults who needed to learn how to ride bikes. And it was one episode, but it covered like weeks. It took adults weeks to learn how to ride a bike. And they would begin by learning about the parts of the bike. And then they'd have another lesson where they just kind of sat on the bike and rolled it back and forth, just little by little. And then the next week, they might pick their feet up just a little bit to get to know what it was like. And then finally, in victory, they strap on their helmets and they go out and they finally get to ride. But there was a woman in it, the woman who just couldn't seem to get the hang of it, and she would whine and she'd fuss. And I wanted to scream at her, just pick up your feet and ride. But the teacher was much more patient than I was. And she sat with her and walked her through till finally, after what seemed like a painfully long time, learned how to ride that bike. And afterwards, they talked and they interviewed her. And they said, you know, and she said, I can't tell you what it meant to me that she was paid. If she would have been frustrated with me, I would have never learned. I would have quit. I would have just stopped and quit. But she was patient, and her patience and her love allowed me the time I needed. And she expressed her gratitude towards her. And I thought about that this week. I thought about this patience and this love and this kindness thing this week. I was thinking about the church and small communities and how hard it is for us to see where love comes in, because we're pretty much alike. We pretty much look like each other. We agree on the norms. We know what behaviors are acceptable. We share the same values and so on. So can we honestly say that we love unconditionally? Do we really know what it means? What if we're confronted by folks who are not like us? I remember my first couple days at the food pantry in Toledo. There were these two older Hispanic men that didn't speak any English. And people around them would say, why don't they learn English? They live in America. Don't they know that that's our language? There was a little woman. You might have thought that she was 75 to look at her, but she was only 50 or so. Her brown skin, so wrinkled and dry. She always wore this heavy, heavy coat every day that she came, even in the summer, and she smoked. Oh, how she smoked. There was always trouble when she came to the food pantry, because when she always wanted to go outside and have a cigarette, but if you go outside and they call your name or your number and you're not there, you go to the end of the line again and you have to start all over again. And when that would happen, which it did with alarming regularity, she would come in and be angry and complain and start to fight. Then there was a woman who worked there. She was a Vietnam vet. An army nurse. She was a big woman, a large woman, and she lived on the edge of poverty herself. She had chronic dental problems, and hers was the job to yell out the numbers for the people who waited in line, and she was good at it. Then there was the young man who wanted to argue politics every single time. Every day he came, he wanted to argue politics. And he would sit and move around with the people and begin to talk until he found somebody who could argue back with him. He always wore a Hawaiian shirt and sandals, even in the winter. And then there was the man that was always drunk or always drinking. And the woman with the foul mouth, she talked way too loud. And her language made me want to cringe. And then there was the man who lived miles away at the mission, at the Cherry Street Mission, but he walked every Sunday for church, and by the time he got to church, he was so tired and so worn out that he would sit and sleep generally through most of the service and many of my sermons, and he would snore really loud, really loud. God called me to love each and every one, to be patient with them and to teach them as I talked with them. And we did love them. Not always well, though. Most of the time, we wanted people who were like us. We wanted people who were clean, people who were well-dressed, who we longed to have people who were well-behaved and with good manners and who had enough sense to stay inside and not smoke and not to drink. But it isn't who God sent us. What if? What if we agreed only to take those that we approved of? What if we demanded that they be like us first? Love, it challenges us. It's radical. It doesn't boast. It doesn't allow us to congratulate ourselves as if we alone were responsible for our success. We know that all of our successes come from the help of others and the pouring out of wisdom. It's not proud or rude or self-seeking or easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. I know this one. Lots of folks know this one. Ask anybody who's been hurt how hard it is not to keep a record of who and how they hurt them. Recovering folks know this one, mostly because they have made some pretty bad decisions in their lives, and they have burned their bridges. But it happens because of those who are hurt hold on to the hurt and disappointment. They build walls around themselves, and those that hurt them vowing that never again will they allow that to happen. And it really is an effective way of preventing any kind of healing or forgiveness. But Paul says, love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. And one of the most pervasive ways in this culture that we delight in evil is through gossip. Through gossip, we deny love. When we begin to talk about each other or fuss about who does what or wears what or can't seem to do things in the right way or the way we enjoy it, we fuss. And it happens all the time. Finally, Paul turns to proactive love. It always protects, it always puts itself before the others in order to prevent harm from the other. It always trusts. It trusts because it can, and it always hopes and perseveres. As we take a long, hard look at love and who and how and the depth that we are called to love, we all stand convicted before God. Every time we expect others to be like us, we have failed. Every time we have put our expectations on another one before we accept them, before we love them, we have failed. Love is transformational. Real and true love transforms. What if we loved the ragamuffin begging on the street? What if we loved the prostitute? Or the young black man holding a sign that reads Black Lives Matter. Or the gay couple. Or even the Muslim or the Hindi. Jesus loved perfectly. Jesus loved so perfectly that he died not just for the disciples, but also he died for the Pharisees. He died for the Gentiles, for the pagans, the prostitutes, the gamblers, the drunks, the destitute, and even for you and me. What if we started a grassroots movement? What if we started right here and right now and made a decision to love unconditionally? Well, things would get messy, but love is messy. Love makes us uncomfortable, it challenges us, it pushes us. This Valentine's Day, today, let's take a chance. Let's let down our walls and really love unconditionally. Amen. I ask you to join me in our closing hymn as you stand, for they'll know we are Christians by our love. In peace, knowing that God loves you just as you are. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go and share God's love with a world that is hurt and broken and dying to be loved.